welcome again, everybody, to our virtual house-to-house small group Bible study. And for those of you who are here, thank you for showing up. As you may remember or recall, Pastor Nathan has been on this Sound Mind deal for the last probably a month and a half now, several weeks at least. And so I've decided to join him in sharing what I believe to be some feelings and maybe emotions, strong emotions that we internalize that prevent us from having a sound mind. If you remember, 3 weeks ago, I started this series and I went through the emotion of regret. Y'all remember that? So we started with regret. And then last week, our subject was on fear, right? And how fear can prevent us from entering into the presence of God. Fear can cause us to be paralyzed and not do anything for God. Fear can cause us to be depressed and filled with anxiety and cause us to freeze up and not do anything for God. So tonight, I want to deal with envy and jealousy. Envy and jealousy, they are cousins. And I want to talk about them and how they can prevent us from fulfilling the work of God in our lives, the things that God has called us to do, what you have been uniquely placed wherever you've been placed. Somehow envy and jealousy can prevent you from accomplishing what God has placed in your path. I'll take you to the book of Galatians. If you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter number 5, we're reading verse 19 through 21. Popular passage of scripture. Actually, beginning at verse 22 is more popular because that's the more fun portion of this text, which talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But before we got to the fruit of the Spirit, we've got this beautiful set of instructions here talking about the works of the flesh and how those can hinder us from inheriting the kingdom of God, literally prevent you from going into heaven. I'm starting to read at verse number 19. Here beginneth the reading of God's word. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies. That's one of the things we're going to be focusing on tonight. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy. That's another one. Murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. In other words, things like these, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things, Paul writes, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's why I wanted to focus on these two, jealousies and envies, because if we are practicing these, they will keep us out of heaven. And we don't want that. So my subject tonight is dropping envy and jealousy. Dropping envy and jealousy, or avoiding envy and jealousy. Envy and jealousy have been with us from the very, 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 very beginning. The devil himself became envious of God. And in the text, the Bible tells us that he became so jealous that that seed of envy grew into an evil tree of desire to overthrow God and his kingdom. As you know, this led to a war in heaven, where the devil and a third of the angels in heaven were eventually thrown out of heaven by the archangel Michael, who warred against them because of their rebellion against God. Here's how the prophet Isaiah records that incident. In Isaiah chapter number 14, we read verse 12, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground. You who weaken the nations, verse 13, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Verse 14. Here's what the devil said. Lucifer, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds and I will be like the Most High God. You hear the envy in his voice, the jealousy of God. Revelations 12:9. So the great dragon, Lucifer, was cast out of heaven, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So far, that's the scripture. Amen. The words envy and jealousy, as I mentioned, are they're almost synonyms. Not quite, but almost synonyms. There actually are distinctions in their meanings. Envy, for example, is defined as the painful feelings of wanting what someone else has, like, say, their car, their house, their position, their possessions, maybe their attributes, their looks, wanting what they have is envy. However, jealousy, if you're jealous of someone, you probably feel threatened, protective, or fearful of losing your position or your situation to someone else. All right, so let's say, let me be practical. Let's say at your job, your coworker has gotten a raise and they're bragging about it, but you didn't get one. And it bothers you so much because you really wish you had gotten one too. Is the feeling that you're feeling jealousy or envy? As I said, the two feelings are very similar. And I don't want to make too much of a distinction between them because they run together. But the words are often used to convey slightly different things, mainly involving whether the feeling is hostile or malicious. So I want to underline the similarities and differences between jealousy and envy tonight, including the subtle implications of both words and perhaps some examples of how you can tell when envy has turned into jealousy. All right, turn your microphones on. I'm gonna talk with you a little bit about those two words. Have you ever been jealous of someone? Really jealous of someone?
No.
Have you ever been envious of someone?
No, but I can admire.
Yeah, yeah. It's important for us to admit this. That's why I wanted to ask. You turn your microphones back off. We must remember that both of these emotions come from the heart. And the Bible says that they are destructive as anything that we feel. And they must be resisted by the child of God. Because the Bible says, if you practice such things, you will not enter heaven. We just read it, Galatians 5:21. So what then is jealousy, right? It's a feeling of resentment, of bitterness, or even hostility towards someone who has something that you don't have. So there are usually only two people involved in jealousy, right? Or maybe sometimes three. You and the other person that you're jealous about. This could be their general success, maybe their achievement on the job. Maybe it's a social advantage that they enjoy, or a material possession they have, like a new car, or even a relationship that they enjoy with someone that you like, perhaps, or someone that you admire. What matters is that the other person already has the thing that you want, and this makes you resentful of them. That's jealousy, right? I want you to search your heart. This is one of these messages that pricks you and asks you to search your heart. Because the Bible says if you practice these things, you will not enter heaven. I didn't make that up. One of the examples that I found in scripture is Genesis 37, verse 3 to 11. We see Joseph's brothers. They were jealous of him, right? Because of the relationship that he enjoyed with his father. And their jealousy led them to fake his death and sell him into slavery in Egypt. Let's also remember that some of the brothers contemplating killing their brother because of this, because of jealousy. So let me read the text. Now, Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the other brothers, they hated him. That's how the Bible described jealousy. They hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now, of course, he didn't help, right? The Bible tells us that Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even the more. So he said to them, please hear this dream, which I have dreamed. And he tells them about this amazing thing, and they bow down before him, even his father bowing down. And his brothers were jealous of him, verse 11. His father kept it in mind. But I want to show you how jealousy could lead to something much, much more sinister, like murder, right? What then is envy? Let's pivot to envy for a second. Envy, similar to jealousy, is this negative feeling that you have of desire centered on someone who has something that you do not have. You see how that's close, but not quite? Envy can also be a verb, meaning to feel this way towards someone. Both the noun form and the verb imply that you want to be in another person's position. In other words, you want to have what they have. Just like jealousy, envy can be centered on a number of things, tangible or intangible. Envy can be described as a mix of admiration and maybe discontent. But it's not usually malicious. It can even be used as part of a compliment. If you say, hey, you've worked so hard to achieve your success, I really envy you. That's not malicious, right? But if you feed that, and if you let it turn into jealousy, it can become malicious. It can become malicious. Both jealousy and envy can take us off course. Take us off course. If we feel upset that we don't have what someone else has, and wishing that you are in their position, that's considered envy. If the feeling of inner resentment and outward hostility sometimes result from that feelings, these feelings are thought to stem from jealousy. However, it is often said that envy can turn and will turn into jealousy. And at the point at which it does, it may not be so obvious to you because it's not on the surface, it's down inside your heart. And when it finally emerges, it can emerge as murder, as it did for Joseph's brothers. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. So let me give you some of the obvious examples of how we can be jealous. And of course, this is not a complete list. We can become jealous of a person's possessions, their wealth, their financial status, their financial assets, similar to covetousness, right? We can become jealous of a person's recognition or their opportunities, their privileges, their advantages. Hey, we can become jealous of how a person looks, their appearance, their natural beauty. They won the genetic lottery, as Pastor Nathan is often cause to say. They may be just beautiful, and that can make you jealous. You can become jealous of a person's personality, their abilities, their talents, and yes, their skills. You can become jealous of a person's awards, accomplishments, achievements, their popularity, their position, their job, their status, their placement at work, their prestige, even their intelligence, their knowledge, their education. Their spouse. You can become jealous of a person's spouse. Their connections, their family, their friends, their relationships. So this is a really broad topic of how we can feel on the inside when looking at another person. Envy, on the other hand, is this feeling of resentment, this awareness of an advantage that someone has over you. And as a result, you would want that as well. So why are these emotions so bad? Why are they bad? Simply put, envy and jealousy, the Bible says, are terrible ways for us to respond to everyday situations. They're more evil sins that rise to the level that lead to even worse attitudes, actions, responses. For example, lust can lead to much, much more damaging things. So why are envy and jealousies such a bad thing? Why are they in that list in Galatians chapter number 5? We say that we can just brush these things off, envy and jealousy. The answer is no. We can't just brush them off. We should run from them. We should resist them, because they both will lead to even worse attitudes and actions. Don't ignore them. Jealousy and envy are both declared to be a sin in the scriptures. I'll show that to you in a minute. And we know that the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. The Bible is quite clear about that. And of course, no sin shall enter heaven. That is the reason enough to be very serious about envy and jealousy. The scriptures also say that such attitudes come from a demonic root. In James 3:14, the Bible says, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It is earthly. It is sensual. It is demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. In other words, when your heart devises jealousies, you're thinking and acting on the advice, the encouragement of a demon. Another reason why envy and jealousy are so bad is because they lead to other forms of wickedness and corruption. When you allow such attitudes to fester in your heart, other sins are given a space in your heart, a foothold in your soul. That's exactly what James 3:16 says. For where envy and self-seeking exist, jealousy exists, confusion and every evil thing is there as well. So if you allow jealousy to fester, it can lead to bitterness. And bitterness will lead to hate. Hate will lead to rivalries, and rivalries will lead to violence. And of course, violence will lead to murder, and murder is as evil as you can get, right? So James 4, the first couple of verses in James 4 asks this rhetorical question. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and you cannot obtain. This is clearly not a beautiful portrayal of humanity. Let's be clear. Jealousy is, we can go through the scripture and find many examples of where jealousy results in a murderous spirit of envy and hate. We have an early example of Cain killing his brother in Genesis chapter number 4, murdering his brother because Abel had something that Cain did not have. The Lord showed respect to Abel's offering and not to Cain's. And so Cain was like, nah, man, I'm not going to have that. And the Bible says, verse number three from Genesis 4, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Verse 4, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry. The Bible says his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Verse 7, he says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not well, sin lies at your front door. And its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. And verse 8 says, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. That's a terrible, terrible end. Terrible end. So we ought not to take these emotions, these feelings lightly. So let's go back to the root of where they come from. It's helpful sometimes to understand the root meaning of the words used in the Bible. For these emotions, these attitudes, when we examine them in the English translation, we don't get the full understanding all the time. But a similar word is used for both the Old Testament and New Testament usage of the words that end up translating into jealousy and envy. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is called kana, Q-U-A-N-A, meaning zealous or zeal or jealous, depending on the context. And in Genesis 37, we read that Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. That's that word, kana, Q-A-N-A. And their jealousy led them to fake his death, sell him into slavery in Egypt. And of course, like I said before, a couple of the brothers wanted to kill him right then and there. A similar use of kana, Q-A-N-A, is in the negative, is found in Numbers 5. And this is repeated twice. And in chapter 5, verse 20, referring to a husband who is jealous of his wife's behavior. Kana is also used in context where zeal and acts of deep devotion are seen in not a negative, but a positive light. The Bible says that Phinehas was commended by the Lord for being zealous for God, Numbers 25:11. And Elijah came that he was very zealous for the Lord God, 1 Kings 19:10. And then the word kana is used again in a number of passages referring to God being jealous for his people. And in this context, it is a holy jealousy based on his claim for an exclusive relationship. God don't want to share you with anybody. So when he sees you tiptoeing, looking at somebody else, he gets jealous. You don't believe me? Read Deuteronomy 4:24. Deuteronomy 5:9, Deuteronomy 6:15, Joshua 24:19, Ezekiel 39:25, and Nahum chapter number 1, verse 2. In fact, the reason God gives for the second commandment in Exodus 20, verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a graven image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or is in earth beneath, or that is in under the waters of the earth. He says, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. Why? Why did he say that? For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. Let me repeat his reason. He says, I am a jealous God. And so because Israel had previously followed pagan gods, God became jealous of them. Similarly, perhaps, if a husband and wife is enjoying a relationship and then a third party come and inserts themselves in between the husband and wife, one of them is going to get jealous. That's how the word is used. In the New Testament, there are basically two Greek words used to describe jealousy. Both words are used in the text that we read, Galatians 5, number 20 and 21. The word is translated jealousy, is the Greek word zelos, from which we get the English word zeal. It literally means heat or bringing water to a boil. That's how it's translated literally. But figuratively, it's used in two ways, similar to the word kana in the Old Testament. positively. So great enthusiasm for a cause, a person or an object, which we normally refer to as zeal or enthusiasm, but negatively, which is the darker side of envy or jealousy. In the New Testament, the word zelos is translated either as zeal or godly jealousy, which we read earlier, John 2:17, Romans 10, verses 2, 1 Corinthians 12, 31, and so on. There are legitimate occasions for jealousy. Let me just make that clear. Godly jealousy is an example, such as when someone is trying to steal your spouse away from you. That's a legitimate occasion for jealousy. However, sinful jealousy occurs when we are afraid someone is going to become equal or even superior to us. And where does that come from? That's exactly what the devil tempted Eve with. The root emotion of jealousy is pride, which leads to the fear that someone, somewhere, is going to take an advantage over us and will overtake our place in life. And that's what the devil used with Eve. The Lord doesn't want you to be like him. And when you eat of this fruit, you're going to be a little bit like him. Now, the second Greek word used in the New Testament is the word thonos. Unlike zelos, the second word is used positively, but only once in James 4:5, referring to God's spirit, which jealously yearns for us. The word thonos is translated most often into the word envy. Pilate knew, for example, that the Jews handed Jesus over to him for a trial out of their envy. Mark 15:10. And so sometimes, and that's why I said that these two words are cousins, right? In Titus 3:3, it is used as a description of our past lives outside of Christ. The Bible says, quote, "We ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy." The idea behind the word is a sense of rivalry due to ill will and spite. But in actuality, the word zelos or thonos are very close synonyms and easily used together, as in Galatians 5. And so together, jealousy and envy germinate in the soil of pride. They lead to an unhealthy competitiveness that demands and aggressively seeks to be number one in everything and every circumstance. Rivalry is another way of describing this twisted attitude, which always needs to be the center of attention, always on top, always in charge, always the best, always number one. This feeling, it can never take a back seat, nor will it ever leave the center stage. Not being recognized and not being in control is something to be avoided at all costs, because that is the root word. That is the root of this jealousy and rivalry. It sees everyone and everything as a competitor, everyone as a threat, and every question as a challenge to your authority. I see these attitudes in the church. I see them by my fellow leaders, my fellow pastors, and lay people in our church. And I'm ashamed to admit that all too often I see these attitudes in myself as well. None of us is above these attitudes, these feelings. So what do we do about them? We hardly ever discuss these. That's why I chose to teach on these, because I don't think I've ever heard us preach on jealousies and envy and the destructive nature of how those feelings can really tear us apart and keep us from God. Is there any hope for our miserable, jealous, wretched lives? Yes, there is. First, we need to understand the truth about ourselves. Our supposed secret attitudes of envy and jealousy, by the way, are an open scandal before God. God knows all things. And so if you've never done so, you need to admit these feelings.
Amen.
Admit them and turn away from them. Turn to the Lord in repentance. I know this is some, I mean, I don't mean to minimize it, but sometimes these jealous feelings just creep up on you. And before you know it, you're looking askance at someone with, I'm gonna be picky now. Someone rolls up in church in a nice car or a nice Kate Spade bag or whatever. I'm just bringing it down now to where we live.
Right.
It starts out as just maybe admiring it. But if you give your heart over to this feeling, it can very quickly turn to jealousy. It's okay to admire. And by the way, it's okay to even compliment. Mm-hmm. But if you feel that your heart is turning into wanting it just because they have it,
right,
then that's something else. And you need to repent. Ask the Lord for this washing of regeneration and the forgiveness of that thought, those feelings. And by the way, the Holy Spirit will cleanse your soul, and the Holy Spirit will indwell you and nudge you every time you get to that place. Every time you have that feeling, the Holy Spirit will nudge you. And then you will be able to live above it from then on. Because every time you feel that feeling, the Holy Spirit will elbow you to your side and say, uh-uh, I don't want you to feel like that. That's what they have. What has the Lord given to you? If you are a born-again believer, by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, you're going to grow in grace. And while you may not be able to recognize even or to handle these feelings initially, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to overcome it. Ask God to help you. It's liberating when it happens. When you recognize that the Lord has given you power over this, trust me when I tell you, it liberates you. And which with each episode of this sinful jealousy, you will have the option of confessing the sin before the Lord, have him forgive you so that you can become more like Christ and less like the demons, as James 3:16 says. The way you can tell that the Holy Spirit is working in you is that for the committed Christian, he or she is able to deal honestly with yourself or himself or herself. You can truthfully admit that nobody can do everything. So when someone is truly better than you at something, you can admit, and this is not a surprise to you, if they are truly better at something that is really important to you, then you should swallow hard, admit it, and give it to God. If it bothers you that much. Listen, God created you as you are. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. God gave you your family. God gave you certain skills, certain experiences, certain giftedness, and you choose to accept his calling for your life. You choose to accept his calling for that other person as well. And whatever their giftedness, whatever their skills, whatever their calling is, if you humbly accept that, you can humbly affirm the strengths that God has given to you and equally admit your weaknesses as well. For example, Venice and I are different people, right? I am more of an extrovert. Right. And that comes with its blessings and its curses. And Venice is a little bit more of an introvert. She'll tell you that. When you can finally admit who God made you to be And that, by the way, is the third lesson of First Steps that I teach, that personality assessment of knowing who you are and knowing what gifts God has given to you. You finally admit that your strengths are these and my weaknesses are these. And when you start comparing yourself to other people, you know that you have wandered outside the lines. It is a sin to compare yourself with others. The Bible tells us that. So you choose by the grace and power of God to stop that, because that will lead to resentment, to insecurities, and yes, to fear. And we know what fear does. It paralyzes you. I'm done. Jealousy, envy, and pride are not merely, dandruff of the soul. They are ugly sins, and you must guard against them with a serious and determined vigilance. And when you recognize them, you must quickly repent of them. Because if you don't, they will ooze out of your attitudes and ultimately pollute your soul. And you don't want that, because that will keep you out of heaven. The Bible says that if you practice these, Galatians 5:21, if you practice these feelings, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. I hope this helps somebody. I really hope it does, because these are not the emotions and feelings we talk about all the time. So I hope you are blessed by this word. That's all I have for you tonight.
Thank you for listening to First Church Charlotte. If this podcast has blessed you, please rate it with 4 or 5 stars. By doing so, you will help others find our free podcast and bless them. If you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, come worship with us at 4929 North Sharon Amity Road. For information about service times, church ministries, and so much more, visit us online at firstchurchclt.com. If you would like to help support our efforts, please text GIVE to 704-445-5353. We pray God's richest blessings to you. Come worship with us. Thank you.